Before preaching on the gospel this evening, I'd like to say a few words about the Supreme Court's decision this last week to strike down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act that defines marriage as between one man and one woman. Opposition to gay marriage is often framed by the secular media as discrimination toward homosexual persons. The charge is often made that people who oppose gay marriage are homophobic and bigoted. What I'd like to briefly address are two responses to this issue based on the teachings of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. First, I'd like to read a section that deals with homosexual persons that says, "Homosexual persons do not choose their homosexual condition. For most of them, it is a trial. They must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. Every sign of unjust discrimination in their regard should be avoided. These persons are called to fulfill God's will in their lives, and if they are Christians, to unite to the sacrifice of the Lord's cross any difficulties they may encounter from their condition. Homosexual persons are called to chastity by the virtues of self-mastery that teach them inner freedom. By the support of healthy friendship, prayer, and sacramental grace, they can and should gradually and resolutely live a holy life." So from these two short paragraphs from the Catechism, we conclude that all homosexual persons deserve respect and dignity. Any bigotry toward them is sinful, and they are all called to live a holy life. There is no difference between heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual people in the eyes of God. With regard to the question of marriage, the Catechism has a long and beautiful section on marriage, beginning with these two short paragraphs. "The matrimonial covenant by which a man and a woman establish between themselves a partnership of the whole of life is by its nature ordered toward the good of the spouses and the procreation and education of offspring. This covenant between baptized persons has been raised by Christ the Lord to the dignity of a sacrament. The intimate community of life and love which constitutes the marriage state has been established by the Creator and endowed by Him with its own proper laws. God Himself is the author of marriage. The vocation to marriage is written in the very nature of man and woman as they came from the hand of the Creator." And so the Catechism is telling us that the Christian tradition, and I'd add, along with all other world religions, see marriage as the foundation of society, because it is by the procreation and education of children that society continues generation after generation. And beyond this natural understanding of marriage, Jesus declares that God is the one who unites a man and a woman in marriage. In response to the Supreme Court striking down the Defense of Marriage Act, here is a statement from Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the Archbishop of New York and President of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. "The court got it wrong. The federal government ought to respect the truth that marriage is the union of one man and one woman, even where states fail to do so. The common good of all, especially our children, depends upon a society that strives to uphold the unique meaning of marriage, one man, one woman, for life." Now, there's obviously a lot more that we could say and discuss about these issues. But of course, a Sunday homily, 10 minutes is not enough time to give any in-depth analysis. But I just wanted to refer to these two sections of the Catechism to present the Catholic position about what happened this last week. And as I reflected on this theme of marriage, a thought came from out of the blue about my own decision not to marry, and is directly related to today's gospel. People occasionally ask me if I have second thoughts about not getting married. And once a person has made a life commitment, the most important is to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of one's life, and other decisions such as marriage or priesthood, it can be dangerous to question the decision later on. As Jesus says in today's gospel, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." At the same time, I have to confess that I have questioned my decision a few times, especially at a wedding reception I attended in San Diego in 1998. The bride was Monica Rojas, whose family I met when I was a foreign exchange student in Mexico during my college years. At that time, I entered a serious vocational crisis. I think I've mentioned this before from the pulpit, because I went to Mexico with the intention of returning to the seminary afterwards. However, I fell in love with a wonderful young woman named Antonia Rojas, Monica's aunt. And because of Antonia, I gave up my plan to become a priest, and my hope was to marry her, which is a story too long to tell in this homily, and not right to the point either. But I can tell you that 10 years later, I did marry Antonia to another man. By that time, I had returned to the seminary, and Antonia had found her husband, Stan. And 6 months after my ordination, I presided at their wedding. But anyway, back to Monica's wedding reception, which is what I really want to talk about, in 1998. Practically all of Monica's family was present, including Antonia and Stan, and I hadn't seen them in 18 years. They invited me to sit with them at the reception, and we were all having a great time until the dancing began. And I watched Monica dance with her new husband, and suddenly I was filled with melancholy, thinking about what might have happened if I had married Antonia, who was sitting right next to me. The emotion was too much for me, and so I simply left the reception, and I went for a long walk around San Diego Harbor. And I let my mind play an imaginary video about what might have been if I had married her. And after about 45 minutes, I reached two conclusions. First, if I had married Antonia, I believe that we could have been happy together. The second conclusion was that I had made the right decision to become a priest, and there's no turning back. Imagining what might have been evoked a kind of a sweet melancholy within me. But once the mental video was over, I realized that it's a waste of time and energy to live in the past, especially in an imaginary past. And I thought of that line that we heard in today's gospel. Jesus says, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." He wants all of us to seek his will for our lives. Whenever there's important decisions about where to go to school, what profession to undertake, whom to marry, the first question should be, what do you want me to do, Lord? That should be the first question. And if we keep asking that question, he will guide us to make the right decision. And when we're doing what he wants us to do, and we should do it with all our hearts, and to believe that he'll always be there for us to guide us and protect us in moments of trial and test. He doesn't want us to live in the past, whether it was happy or sad. Perhaps we had a wonderful childhood, and we at this moment in our life feel frustrated with whatever we're doing and perhaps with some relationships. In that case, our temptation would be nostalgia, longing for the past. Or perhaps the opposite. Maybe we had a painful childhood. Maybe my father didn't give me sufficient attention. Maybe there was domestic violence in my house. And I feel anger and sadness about my childhood. In this case, my temptation would be to resent my past and to hold on to anger and perhaps depression. In both scenarios, I'm chained by my past. Jesus presents another option. Live in the present moment and let God heal my past. In biblical language, this is described as living in the kingdom of God. We live in the kingdom of God when we let God rule our lives, our thoughts, our decisions. And where do we find God? In Jesus Christ, who is God made flesh. When we firmly believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord, is our Savior, and we respond to his invitation to have an intimate, personal friendship with him, then we're living in the kingdom of God. When we trust him to lead us and to save us, we're living in the kingdom of God. Whenever we feel nostalgia about the past, or resentments and sadness about the past, or worry about the future, Jesus invites us to turn our thoughts to Him and to pray for the healing of our memories and to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit right here and right now. This is how we become fit for the kingdom of God.